We have on the line with us Mufti Zubair Bayat. Mufti Saab is the Amir of Darul Ihsan. Once again, we would like to just acknowledge our Channel Islam and Radio Al Ansar listeners this morning. And we would like to welcome one and all. The number, if you want to send a message, is 071-878-9748. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaykum to all of the esteemed listeners of all the radio stations.
Mufti Saab, this one sentence of yours when Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi passed away, and now when Mawlana Taha passed away, that rings in my mind. Okay, who will give who condolences in such a time? Who consoles who? And that is the loss that we're feeling. And I always remember it when you made mention of it, when Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi passed away, and now again when Mawlana Taha. What a great loss the Ummah has had. Maybe you give us some of your insights towards Mawlana Taha, Saab, Mufti Saab.
Okay, inshallah ta'ala, Mawlana. Obviously, we have to respect all the other speakers that will be coming on the program. But I just did a kind of a majlis program or an informal talk with some of my dear friends this Sunday morning, over an hour more or less, regarding the life of Hazrat Mawlana Taha Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, and my interactions with him. And my memories and recollections of our various get-togethers and sittings and meetings and so on. So I don't want to take up all of that time this morning out of respect for all of the other speakers. There are various aspects of his life that we could touch on. But let me see whatever is most relevant, inshallah. I will try to touch on those aspects, inshallah ta'ala. like I say, it's really difficult, you know, where do I start and where do I end? There's so many things to be spoken about, and there's so much that could be said about our beloved and respected and most honorable Hazrat Mawlana Taha Saab Rahmatullah Ali. Just on a light note, if I may start.
Jee, Mawlana.
You know, alhamdulillah, I had a very, very informal and a very close relationship with Mawlana Taha Saab, to the extent that just maybe about a month or so before he passed away, I mean, one occasion there were hundreds of occasions when we phoned and spoke to each other on the phone. The last call was more than 2 hours, Mawlana.
Allahu Akbar.
There was something, he sent me a message that, you know what, can I call you or do I... So I said, okay, I phoned him. It was 11 o'clock at night, and we finished the call at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Allahu Akbar.
So 2 hours. So this was the type of, discussions we held, and we spoke about so many things. But just on a light note, if I may say, you know, there were many times I would pose some question to him or ask his view or opinion or something. And subhanAllah, the amazing answer he gave, I was so excited on one occasion when he gave me an answer to something. I said, Sheikh, tell me, can I make dua that Allah Ta'ala must clone you? You know, in a lighthearted way, obviously. Yes, we don't believe in human cloning, but just in a lighthearted way, I said, is it possible that we should ask for you to be cloned? And subhanAllah, he replied and he told me, no, my wife won't approve of it. just on a lighter note. But on a serious note now, can such people ever be replaced? You know, this is such a loss that it is like the hadith on the Rasulullah, the way it says that mawtul alimi zulmatun la tusaddu. The death of an alim is like a hole, a vacuum that cannot be filled. And in reality, this applies so much to the likes of Mawlana Taha, rahmatullah alayhi, that it is a vacuum that cannot be filled. Because to find a person, you know, with such a combination of good qualities and capability is almost like impossible in today's day and age. He was Majmaul Mahasin, he was a combination of every kind of ability, intellectual, spiritual, you know, in every way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had really, really blessed him. And I think this was also a culmination of the, you know, goodness of all his forefathers that had come into him. From his father, his mother, his grandfather. These were all great people. I knew his late grandfather, for example, in the earlier years when we used to go out in Jamaat and we were in Cape Town. I met his grandfather. His grandfather made so much of sacrifices in the path of Allah in Jamaat. He was a constant companion of Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali. So just to give an example of how these type of people are really produced, it is over, you know, generations of effort and good qualities and goodnesses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again brings out a shining star and a jewel like Mu'taha Rahmatullah Ali. His late father was such an accomplished alim. His mother, may Allah give her sabr and give her courage, Ameen, and give her health, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy on her and his family. She is such a remarkable person. Her own knowledge is so deep. Her own grasp of even the Arabic language is so phenomenal. And from that home, a star like this was produced. So I'm just, you know, so to say, drifting around Mufti Sahab. It's going to be really difficult for me to even follow a particular line of discussion. But yes, some of the aspects that speak about his life was, you know, his amazing love for reading, for example. And we see that from the age of five, his late father used to take them to library in Cape Town, 40 kilometers away, take his children, pick the books, come back after the next week or the following week, go and return the books. And every time going to the library, picking up books, coming and going back, and developing in the children like that the love of reading. And as a result of which, Maulana became, you know, popularly he was known as a bookworm, somebody who really loved his books, who loved reading. And as a result of which, he developed intellectual prowess and capabilities, his ability of writing, his command over the English language, his command over the Arabic language. This all came from a very young age because of this love of reading and being in that environment of knowledge at home. So the lesson that we can take out of this is that to produce a genius, Maulana was a real genius, honestly. To produce somebody like that, it starts off very young in life. And if those parents have that concern and they have that eagerness and interest in developing their child and they expose the child to all of these things, then this is how great scholars are produced. And nevertheless, after all said and done about all his achievements and abilities and all of that, Maulana, one sentence comes to my mind, or one word comes to my mind, and that is, he was muwaffaq min Allah.
Subhanallah.
That sums it up in one word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him some abundance of tawfiqat, and it was through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Mu'taha Sahab, alhamdulillah, was muwaffaq min Allah. He was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was perhaps inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go in the path that he had taken. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors for him. And, you know, he developed in so many ways and so many varieties of skills and abilities he developed within himself. And, you know, his exposure to various ulama and to institutions of learning and his exposure to the various sciences. He had a good grasp of every Islamic discipline that you can imagine. There wasn't anything that you asked him a question and he didn't know something about that field of learning. you know, on one occasion I asked him, Sheikh, what you reading now? He had a book with him. He said, right now I'm reading a book on nuclear physics. I was astonished. I'm telling him, what has that got to do? He said, no. In fact, it was, sorry, quantum physics. He said, no, this has got to do with their desire to query or to search the origins of the universe. So he said, I want to know how they think about the origins of the universe. So this was the kind of, diversity in his learnings and his studies. And there were times, Maulana, not once, but on several occasions when myself and Maulana, we sat from Isha and we finished at Fajr.
Allahu Akbar.
All nights. Sometimes it happened here in this very office that I'm speaking from in Durban. We sat the whole night, and times in Cape Town, we would sit the whole night and we wouldn't even be conscious of the passing of time. And before we knew, it's already Fajr time. This was the type of, and most of the time it would be, I'm asking him, you know, all kinds of questions, and then we're discussing and we, going through these issues and, trying to sort of unravel the issues and all of that. So, subhanAllah, there's so many beautiful memories and recollections that time even won't allow me to go into all of those details. Just again, on a lighter note, once we had some meeting in Cape Town, and Mona insisted that, no, we must have supper at his house. Now, when I landed, I phoned him. I said, Sheikh, alhamdulillah, we landed, and I'm here. So he said, okay, come through, I'm waiting. And any case, went to his house, and of course we sat down and we had some exchange of greetings and discussions and all of that. And then after a short while, the dinner was served, and mashallah, we enjoyed the hospitality of Sheikh. The lovely meals were prepared. May Allah reward his family.
Ameen, ameen.
And then when now we were returning. Then he said, you know what, I got all my dates mixed up. I thought that the dawah is for tomorrow night.
Allah.
And I didn't even tell my family. And when you phoned, he says that now I was like in a bit of a panic. But he says, I quickly told my family. And in the short while, they prepared this meal. And I said, subhanAllah. And this is the aspects of his life that are not necessarily the academic aspects of his life. So it wasn't only just that he was a great academic person, which he was most certainly. And I wouldn't hesitate in saying that he was the Allama of our time. I think it would be justice if we refer to him as Allama Taha Karan.
Subhanallah.
Because of the informal relationship we had, I know he wouldn't like it if I had to call him that when he was living. But I sincerely feel that he deserved the title of Allama in this day and age. So, Maulana, I know there are other speakers that are going to be coming online. There could be lots and lots of things that we could discuss.
Maulana, what we're going to do with Maulana is one Thursday evening, a full hour we want to give Maulana to speak your heart out without any, without any interferences. That one of the Thursdays when Maulana is a bit more free, now Isha is a bit earlier after your majlis, one full hour we want to dedicate with you on Radio Islam with regards to Maulana Taha.
Okay, inshallah ta'ala, inshallah.
Inshallah. We know you also so busy, Maulana. Allah ta'ala bless you and all our seniors and our elders of the country. We say jazakallah so much for your time.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair, Maulana. I conclude with a little dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him complete maghfirah.
Ameen, ameen.
In every way, and Allah Rabbul Izzat elevate his stages and grant him direct entry into Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen.
Allah Rabbul Izzat to reunite him with all his dear and beloved ones in the Akhirah, his asatiza, his mashayikh, his respected father, his brother, his sister, the rest of his family, and Allah Rabbul Izzat grant his mother, his wife, his children, and Allah be their wakil and their kafil and their guardian and their caretaker. Shukran jazilan wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.